Pam was coming from the bedroom area, and I said, I can't find my Walkman. And she said, well, where did you leave it last? You know, when was the last time you used it? So I'm kind of thinking about this, and I walk back into the bedroom, and it's not in the suitcase. And thinking, well, oh, yeah, when I mowed the yard, I think it is hanging up in the garage, but I put everything away. That's my problem. You know, when I straighten everything up, that's when I can't find anything. So I walk back out, and she's in the restroom, standing at the mirror, and she goes, you know, when I was walking out, I was going to do something so I wouldn't forget it. But I forgot. You asked me that question where the Walkman was, and now I can't remember what I was going to do before I forgot it. And I thought, where are we going to be in 30 years? Is there anybody 80 here that I can ask? You know, the Lord gives us examples of people who walked in faith. People that we can look up to. People that we can turn to see how to live for the Lord. And I think if I were to ask you about a chapter, you'd say Hebrews, the 11th chapter. And he writes about Enoch, how he walked with the Lord. He pleased God. We read about Noah and Abraham and Sarah and Moses. By faith they overcame. They were all chosen by God to be examples for me and you. That's why their history is recorded, that we can look at this and see. But Paul spoke of contemporary examples. He wrote to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians, the first chapter, verses 6 and 8. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. David and I were together a couple of weeks ago, and I asked him about if this happened to him too. And it did. And I haven't asked Ladina, but I've got a feeling it did. And we would be riding in the car with Dad sometime. And we might be going up Blue Ridge Cutoff or something, and somebody's name would come up. Somebody we would drive near their house. And he would talk about, you know, I've watched Elvin Wright work on a transmission and lay that whole thing out. And, you know, he picks up a tool, and he doesn't pick up a tool and try it and put one down and get another one and try it. He picks it up and he uses it. He knows what to use. He says, unlike me, who has to try things out. But he lays this all out, and he can put it together, and it works beautifully. And he would talk about Elvin's help of maybe the widows, of his care for his mother. He might talk about Ray Green and how he could take a car that was all smashed up and just make it look like new again. And the things he did for others. He might mention Big Gibson laying out all this material and patterns and being able to cut this all out just masterfully and so quickly. And his work as an elder. I remember him talking about Wendell and how that he had succeeded at Southwestern Bell. But he could have gone farther. But he knew it would interfere with his work for the Lord. As a father and as a husband, and he wasn't going to let that interfere. I don't think I realized it at the time. But all these people had certain traits. They had attained success at a craft, in business. They worked hard at their job and they did it well. They applied themselves. They were recognized for it. They took care of their family and watched over them. And they followed the Lord. They had faith. And I won't go on to embarrass many of you that are sitting here, because your names were mentioned too. But look at the difference of those written about in Hebrews. Enoch, who pleased God, and Samson. Look at the difference in their lives. If you were going to list people to be examples, would you list them together? We have Sarah and Rahab. Look at the difference in their lives. But the Lord wasn't looking at what people had done, particularly, but what they did. Examples come in a wide variety. When I talk about examples in the Bible, many times we think about Abraham and Moses and Sarah and Enoch. We think about these old people. No offense. With gray hair and maybe men with long beards and long robes on. But Rahab was an example. She was a hero. We have to remember that today we're all heroes. And that's sometimes easy to forget. We have a young man the Wednesday night before Thanksgiving, we have a sharing service and people bring things that they're thankful for, scriptures and things. And the young man got up, about 15 years old, and he said, "I'm thankful for my brothers and sisters in Christ." He said, "You are my family." Now, he loves his mother. But the statement that he made did not come just out of a generalization. Because he's having a difficult time now. He's having a struggle. Because his mother, when they've got family things going on Sunday, she wants him to stay home from church and be with them. He went hunting with some of his family members over a weekend. He would have rather been in church. Now, to me, he's a hero. Because at 15 years old, I was probably being dragged to church a little bit. And he shows a maturity. The problem sometimes when we think of looking at somebody a lot older than us is we forget that when we were 10 years old, there was a 15-year-old that we wanted to be just like. We were looking up to them. When we're 15, there's somebody in high school, in college, that is an example to us, that we want to be like. When we're in college, there's somebody that's married. A parent. It becomes a grandparent. Somebody older. That we want to be like. That we look up to. And it really doesn't matter when you look at your life, whether you're a Sarah or a Rahab, or whether you're an Enoch or a Samson. What really matters is what you're doing today. How you're serving the Lord and how you're living the life. There are some men and women that the Lord left out, who served him for a long time. But they got tired of it. They got distracted from it. And they left. The Thessalonians were current day examples. They were the ones that Paul were pointing out that people are looking at you. You've been an example to all these people. And Paul encouraged this. Who are your heroes? Who are the ones that you point out to your children and your grandchildren that they should be like? Do they make a lot of money? Are they nationally known? Or are they your brothers and sisters? You know, many times the ones that we are together with every day, we see their difficulties. We see their problems that they have. And sometimes we forget to admire them. We forget to think about that they're struggling through life just like we are. And we need to look at them how the Lord looks at them and lift them up for how they're serving Him and how they're living with Him. In Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verses 1 and 2, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering. Would you call those the traits of a hero? Is that how society looks at a hero? Isn't it so easy for us to let ourselves or our attitudes get skewed to the way the world looks at things? That we start looking things not in the eyes of the Lord, but in the eyes of men. And we start looking for national. We start saying, well, they can't be a hero because that's, you know, they're not nationally known. They haven't done that one great thing in their life, that 15 minutes. To walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with lowliness and gentleness. Would those be the first two traits you would call for being a hero? Being lowly and being gentle? What do you say about the word long-suffering? Doesn't that kind of just describe itself? What part of that word is desirable? The long part or the suffering part? Now, I must admit I haven't done a lot of suffering in my life. But living for the Lord is living for the Lord when you're with your brothers and sisters and everything is going well and you're cheered on. And living for the Lord is when you're being ridiculed or kind of, you know, let's stay away from Him or, you know, being made fun of, maybe being put off from the main group. Living for the Lord and being an example is about longevity too, isn't it? It's not about what you have done, but it's what you're doing today and what you're going to do tomorrow. Because we're not an example to others if we don't keep long suffering. That's part of that being an example. That's why when we think many times of heroes, we think of those that are older, who have lived that life. Because we see others that have not chosen to continue. Paul said, I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering for a purpose. And that purpose was to bear with one another in love. Now, I want to let you know that I do complain some. Well, I wouldn't say it complain, but I will say that I have made a comment or two about waiting on my wife. About being ready and her not being ready and I'm having to wait and wait and wait. And then finally she's ready and she's in the car. Of course, then I forgot something because I was too busy worrying about waiting on her and forgot something I was supposed to have. So then I got to run back to the house. But I haven't suffered very much. I haven't suffered at all being married to Pam. Isn't it something that, well, when Rick had, Andrea and Richard were married yesterday, and Rick made a point that, you know, you're two separate lives, you're from two separate families, you work at things in different ways, you solve problems in different ways, and to put these two together is going to take some little effort. It's not going to be all easy. It's not going to be all fun, but it's going to take some effort and it's going to take some work. Now, I chose my wife. And luckily, she chose me. Fortunately. But I didn't choose you. Well, some of you I had no choice, but that there's many here that I didn't say, boy, I want to be their brother or sister. But when I became a Christian, I came into a family. A family that I wasn't raised with, a family that we had different values, that we saw problems in different ways, and now they're my brothers and sisters, they're my mothers and fathers, they're my children in the Lord. And that takes effort sometimes, doesn't it? And sometimes that friction that sometimes developed, the personality differences, the dealing with problems all of a sudden together with people that we really didn't choose to be with, takes a little effort. And sometimes we forget who our hero should be. We kind of take each other for granted. We kind of look at those and we see their difficulties or their problems that they've had, and we don't look at their bearing, their long-suffering, their walk that they've walked with. Who do we choose as our heroes? Who do we point out to our children as heroes that we set up as a guide and as an example to them? Galatians 6 and 2, it says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's part of being an example. That's part of being a hero. Is we're not going to agree with everyone. We're going to go help somebody and we know that it was their fault they're in that situation. But they're our brother. They're our sister. Are you a hero? Are you an example? Do you strive to walk with the Lord? Do you remember Him on the first day of the week? Whether you like it or not, you are. Someone is looking at you. Someone is watching you. Be that long-suffering brother and sister. Be that brother and sister that bears with one another. You know, bearing one another means that we lift when they can't or when they don't. Without complaining. An example is one who shows faith in God. Who chooses to follow after God when it's easier not to. Sometimes when physically we'd rather not to. There's a first step in being a hero. And that's repenting of your sins and confessing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and being buried with Him in baptism. That's the example we have, isn't it? When we look to the Scriptures, the example we have is submitting our life to Jesus Christ. Some of those who submitted their life, they didn't have to be too long in suffering. As Stephen was stoned to death just a short time later. We don't know what our calling is when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. We don't really know what our calling is when we're born into the family of God, when we're buried with Him in baptism and rise to walk a new life. But it should be a life in whatever circumstances we find ourselves as being an example, as being a hero. Many times we can look at people in the Bible and say, I could never be like them. But we have to remember men like Samson who sinned and sinned and sinned. But they returned to God. Even though they knew who God was, even though they had accepted God, they fell into temptation. But Samson always knew, and he showed it in his life, who God was and who he should turn to. And he did, didn't he? And that's the invitation we have this morning. The invitation to become a child of God. An invitation for a home in heaven. But don't forget an invitation in long suffering and bearing with one another. It's an invitation we give to those who have fallen away. Until you breathe your last breath, you always have the opportunity to return to God. But today is the day that we need to return to God, isn't it? Because if we don't choose God, where else do we turn? Shall we stand as we sing?